Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Ah, yes, a good Monday morning to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. You can't play a talking number to call 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
You got Mikey B, Connor Green across the way on the side at the controls. AB with your updates as we take you for the next 3 hours here. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and make sure you go out there and you mortgage confidently. You can do just that with Quicken Loans. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz and the Moose, at official Taz1Z, at Mark Malusis with a C, and channel 206 on Sirius XM and the Sirius XM app. Good morning, Taz. How you doing, bro?
The Moose. Pretty good, not bad. I hope your weekend was grand, and all of our listeners, I hope their weekend was spectacular and outstanding.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm such a gentleman.
You are such a gentleman.
I really am, bro.
Thinking about everybody else. And
yeah, that's what I do.
That is exactly what you do.
Before we move on, I couldn't help but notice, this is a rare occurrence. If we had video, you would see this. The Moose has a pencil in hand. That's rare.
Usually I do.
You're a pen guy. I
am a pen guy. I have a number two pencil.
Is that a Ticonderoga, sir? Is that the high-end pencil? No, you went with Low Ball Jones.
I went with low, yes. Yeah, so. I don't think this is a Ticonderoga. We shut the lights. No, it's a paper mate.
Oof. El Cheapo. You must have found that somewhere in the newsroom.
I did find it.
I can tell. That's a founded pen. Pencil, I should say.
Yes, that is not.
How observant is your boy?
Very observant. You're all over the place. You are all over it. Yes, that's exactly right. But yes, I do have a pencil in hand this morning. Maybe I should put by my ear like Matt Patricia.
Yeah. That's funny.
And create a thing, right?
Yes, there are a lot of people doing that, by the
way. Yes,
there
are.
To copy
no
Matt
doubt.
Patricia,
right.
Detroit
right.
Lions head
if you can't
coach,
beat them, join them.
That's it. Well, yeah. If I mention, I'm a new Lions fan now. No,
that's
I'm joking.
Exactly. He's now your fourth team. They're
no,
now
he's
your
my
fourth team.
Fourth team. No, my new team of the Pacers. Are you kidding me?
That's exactly right.
Wow.
I mean, what a. And that is where we'll begin in terms of the NBA and the Indiana Pacers with their performance in Cleveland against the Cavaliers. Send real shockwaves in the Eastern Conference and really the NBA and what they were able to do against the against LeBron and the Cavs. LeBron had a 21-game winning streak in game one's first rounds, and that does come to an end, obviously. As they lose that game by 18, they're getting their doors blown off at halftime. They make a run in the third quarter to get it within a workable margin. At one point in time, you know, it was a 7-point game. But after that, Indiana able to stabilize themselves, and by far the Pacers were the better team, the more athletic team. They looked like the quicker team. And the Cavaliers were absolutely stagnant offensively.
Yeah, the key word, right? You said there, Moose was quicker. The speed difference was glaring right from Jump Street. I mean, the Cavs never had the lead in this game. And it's very rare that you see that, right? That the Cavaliers and LeBron James at the helm and, you know, all their experience to your point, that you see this happen. But I'll tell you, man, it was very impressive. And if you notice, like, I guarantee you, today throughout different shows here on CBS Sports Radio, other sports outlets, TV, radio, what have you, I guarantee you, bro, the narrative will be more about the Cavaliers not playing good and losing as opposed to let's compliment the Pacers. You know what I mean? Because that's always the news, the Cavs, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, you're not wrong. Yeah. You're right, because I think everyone's stunned at how poorly they played. LeBron was asked after the game, why did it take him so long to get involved in offensively, right? I think it was it took him about 8 minutes or 9 minutes into game action before he attempted his first shot. And he was asked that very question after it, and he didn't really give you any kind of in-depth answer in terms of the decision why he made, whether he's trying to get others involved or stabilize himself or whether he's not feeling it early on in the game. You know, he finishes with a triple-double, but he did not play well at all. The Cavs shot 25% from behind the arc. LeBron didn't hit a three. Oladipo was fantastic for Indiana.
Unreal.
But you're right. It's going to be more about what went wrong with the Cavs instead of what went right for Indiana.
Yeah, I just think that'll be because it's just they're so polarizing, the Cavaliers, and as is LeBron James. LeBron played over 40 minutes. So this guy, I know he's looking forward to a couple days rest, and he needs it. I don't think this is going to hurt. I don't know about what you think, Moose, but I don't think it's going to hurt the Cavs going forward. I'd love to see who wouldn't love to see an upset out of that deal there, and the Pacers keep on rolling. The Pacers went into this game with something to prove, and with Victor Oladipo at the helm there for them, they went in there with something to prove, and they had a chip on their shoulder, and it was very impressive. The kid dropped 32 points, man. He played great.
Well, listen, we all root for upsets, right, for the most part, unless you're a Cavalier fan. Adam Silver doesn't want to see LeBron leave.
No, he does not.
You mentioned in terms of who wouldn't want to see the Indiana, the NBA offices. The guys, television executives, they do not want LeBron out of this postseason because he's the best player in the world, and he's instant ratings. And yes. You know, he had the confident moxie afterwards saying, well, I was down 3-1 in the NBA Finals. We've been down before. We've come back before. But Oladipo was fantastic. I mean, we're watching. We got ESPN on in the studio here, and they give you a great little kind of context in terms of Oladipo and James. Look at the performance in terms of points.
Yep.
Oladipo, 21 points in the first and fourth quarters. LeBron James just had six.
Six.
that is just not good enough. And then Oladipo, Taz, going back and aware of the comments by Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert after the trade for Paul George going from Indiana to Oklahoma City and what the Indiana Pacers brought back, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the Cavaliers owner basically saying the Indiana Pacers didn't get enough back in terms of compensation for Paul George. And you've seen Oladipo have an unbelievable year, right? Mm. Playing back in his home state, right? Was an Indiana Hoosier collegially, now playing for the Indiana Pacers. He's had a fantastic regular season. And he goes into Cleveland last night and drops in 32 points. He was fantastic.
Yeah, he was. And, man, I got a chance to catch the interview at the end of the game. Man, he's definitely, once the game ended, he still has that edge, Oladipo. He's got a chip on his shoulder, man. He's a little ticked, and I like it.
Yeah, you like it, and you like guys that bring an edge to the table. And if you're Indiana, why not? Everyone basically thought this was a fait accompli, right?
No one. You and I have talked about the Pacers almost all year.
Really haven't.
And with good reason. It was not that they were hardly ever on TV, I believe. I don't think that many national games I've had on TV.
No, not many at all.
So they were really not in the conversation.
No, they were not in the context of the conversation. You're right about that. And they played like it yesterday. I mean, they played like it in their first
great.
Game.
Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah. I mean, utterly and completely fantastic. And I don't know what the Cavaliers do, Taz, because LeBron, after the game, said, I thought we were good enough defensively. We just couldn't find baskets. I don't know how you make up.
I don't know about that.
When I watch, I don't know about giving up 98 points at home if you're good enough offensively or good enough defensively, because I don't look at this Cavalier team as being a great offensive team.
Yeah.
They've got to hit, and they'll do a better job shooting the three from the outside. They were absolutely dreadful yesterday, right? So they can bounce back in that way. However, when you look at the lineup and the adjustment, conceivably speaking, that Tyronn Lue can make, I don't know how they're going to be able to find the team speed that Indiana has and the Cavaliers don't. They're just going to have to do a better job making shots.
They do. I mean, correct. And the Cavs, dude, Kevin Love, you got to play better, son. I mean, you got to play better. I mean, he had 17 rebounds. That's great. But he played over 30 minutes and did not score a lot of points. He had like 9 points. And you got to get Nance Jr. involved more and Clarkson involved more. And I mean, you know, I do think the Cavaliers will get inspired by this, and I do think that this lit a fire under them. I like their chances going forward. Still, the Cavs. I don't think a lot of people are giving up on the Cavaliers, if you're a Cavs fan or not. But it'd be nice to see this Indiana team keep on rolling with Victor Oladipo at the forefront and doing this thing, because they look fired up.
Yeah, I'm not telling you that the Cavaliers are done, but you have every right, if you wake up this Monday morning and you're a Cavs fan, you have every right to be a little concerned.
Yeah.
You do, because if they're not hitting their shots from the outside, Taz, and the threes are not falling, they're going to struggle to find a way to score points. And they were terrible from behind the arc yesterday in the 18-point loss. If those threes don't fall, And Indiana does a good job with their perimeter defense. Cavaliers are going to have to be a lot better defensively, because if they're not, they're not going to find themselves in a lot of these games.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And it's, you know, there's going to be, like we were saying, there's going to be a lot of noise for the next couple of days about the Cavaliers in this Pacer game. Yeah, it was just first round Jones in the game and all that stuff, but no one expected this. I do think a lot of people in the media world are going to be all over this Cavaliers thing, but you got to give some props, like we're doing. You got to give props to the Indiana Pacers. They played great. They scored 98 points, and everyone with intention to score. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? They played hard. They played hard, and they played fast, to your point earlier, Moose. Very fast.
Yeah, they did. And then you get to a couple other games of note. Number one, how about the performance by James Harden for the Houston Rockets against Minnesota? Drops in 44 points. The Rockets went into it. I think they were 11-point favorite going into the game, right? A 1-8 matchup, and the Rockets were a 65-win team in the regular season. And you were looking for the Beard to step up with a great performance, and he was brilliant. I mean, Capella gave you 24. Paul had his 14 points and played 34 minutes. But James Harden playing 41 minutes, 15 of 26 from the field, 7 of 12 from behind the arc, goes to the free throw line, drops in 44 points. They win the game by 3. That Minnesota team, led by your guy Jimmy Butler, Taz, they're not going to go away anytime soon. They're really not. And
right.
And Butler had himself not a great game, 13 points, but they're going to be a tough defensive-minded team for Tom Thibodeau, as his teams always bring the defense. But the Rockets, you were looking for one of those games and when maybe they get tested or wasn't a daylight game, and you know what? They got it yesterday, and conceivably speaking, the MVP of the league in Harden led the way. To have 12 consecutive Rockets points in the span of 2-plus minutes is pretty impressive.
Yeah, totally, dude. I completely agree. I mean, Harden just, he dropped 44 points on a legit Timberwolves team. And, you know, we're doing a bench cut start later on. You know,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we
one.
Are.
So we're doing one, I believe, at 7 a.m. Eastern. And that's going to be the former Thunder 3-0 of Durant, Westbrook, I should say, and Harden. You know, I might have changed mine around a little bit because I did mine on Friday afternoon. I'm going to have to change mine up.
Might have to flip yours around a little bit.
Because I didn't have Harden in such a positive bench cut start momentum. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, and Harden yesterday, if you're going to do it just based off one game, how do you not look at the way that Harden performed yesterday against Minnesota? You know, scored or assisted on 15 of the Rockets' final 17 points of the game. A little bit of a white knuckler, a lot of a white knuckler down the stretch against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Was getting D'd up by Jimmy Butler. And they survived in advance. Minnesota had every opportunity to win that basketball game. Just could not find offense down the stretch, and Houston did. And they leaned on their MVP, and conceivably the MVP of the league this year in James Harden.
Yeah, no doubt. And Harden, as we said, Moose, 44. He dropped 44 points. I don't know if you said it or not, but if not, I'll say it again. 7 3-pointers, bro.
Seven threes. Unbelievable.
Out of 9 attempts.
Unbelievable.
Not too shabby, kids.
No, not too shabby in any way, shape, or form. And then how about the start? How about the Celtics-Bucks?
Oh, I enjoyed this game, dude.
How about the last 15 seconds of this game?
Dude, it was nuts.
It is absolutely crazy about how this game played out, to where Boston eventually wins it in overtime, 113 to 107, right?
Yep.
But if you look at the final 15 seconds of this game, after Horford makes a free throw to give the Celtics a 3-point lead, 96-93, right?
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm Brogdon of the Bucks drills a 25-footer. In front of the Celtics bench to tie the game up at 96. All right, you're saying, okay,
good to go, right?
11 seconds to go. We're tied up at 96. We're facing overtime. Terry Rozier.
Unbelievable.
That makes a 26-foot step-back three with 1.5 seconds left in regulation to give the Celtics a 3-point lead. And you're like, all right, well, I mean, gut check, tremendous performance.
Yep.
Boston's going to win this game. Chris Middleton. barely gets the shot off, drills a 35-foot three-pointer.
Oh, he nailed
to tie the game up at 99 as this game goes to overtime. Boston eventually wins it, but think about the 15 seconds and the wave of emotion in the final 15 seconds of regulation, Taz, before you get to overtime.
Yeah.
You had Celtics up three, Bucks tie it. Celtics up three, Bucks tied. That is amazing in the final 15 seconds.
I got a chance to watch. I got lucky. I only caught the fourth quarter of this game. And, you know, you've heard this for years. You know, people hear it all the time. You know what? Sometimes at a basketball game, you don't have to watch the whole game. Usually the last couple of minutes is the most exciting thing. Well, you know what? That narrative fits for this game because when Middleton nailed that shot, and I'm like, wow, I took to Twitter, Moose. And a lot of people are like, he didn't get that off in time. He didn't get that shot. Oh, he got it off in time. And the air came out of that building in Boston. Because when Middleton nailed that shot, it was like, oh, no. They were just the biorhythms of the audience, up and down. They took us on a ride. The people at home, the people in Boston, it was great. Great game.
Oh, it was a great game, great ending to the game as the Celtics win the game by 6, 113 to 107 in overtime. And Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak, dropped in 35 for Milwaukee. Middleton with the 31. And Boston, as we know, Taz, the expectations for the Celtics changed. As well they should. I mean, you can't expect this Boston team to be as good on the court without Kyrie Irving, but give them credit, gut check, right?
That's
so
great,
you had one, two, three, four, five different guys that score in double figures for the Boston Celtics. Horford with 24, Tatum with 19, the rookie at a Duke, and Rozier had 23 points, Jaylen Brown had 20, and coming off the bench, Morris drops in 21 points as well. As those Boston Celtics have five different guys that score in double figures, and you know, it's strange. You could easily make the argument as a team that for this Boston team, without their two big stars, if they're able to win a series, get to the next round, do a little something, that the other guys on this team will be that much better for it long term. And there'll be a stronger group next year based on the experience that these guys are able to get without these star players on the court this year.
Completely agree with you. And, you know, you hear it all the time, Moose. You hear it. No matter if you were an athlete, former athlete, or a coach, or you have a kid or a family member who's an athlete, you're just a sports fan, or you cover sports, you hear coaches say it and general managers say it. Ah, you know, said player's got to step up. Ah, this guy's got to step. We need these guys to step up. Our key guy's not here. This is what happened to Celtics, man. Irving's not playing. He's hurt. He's out. Boom. These other cats stepped up big time and very impressive by the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, so if you want to react to all the action over the course of the weekend, as the NBA playoffs got going, quadruple header on Saturday, quadruple header on Sunday. LeBron and the Cavs down one game to none against the Indiana Pacers as the Pacers with the daylight victory 98-80. Should Cavs fans be worried? Want to hear from you. 855-212-4CBS. Are you rooting for or against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers? You want to see some fresh faces in the Eastern Conference. And the Kawhi Leonard drama continues down in San Antonio.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, it continues.
It's just, is it ever going to end?
I don't know, Taz. Well, now we have a little bit of a resolution for at least this year anyway. Taz of the Moose with you. Come back with that in your busy calls next. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Doing More is brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. With everything you need to do projects smarter, The Home Depot, more savings, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. How about Victor Oladipo? The All-Star guard exploded for 32 points as the Pacers open the playoffs with a 98-80 win over the Cavaliers at Quicken Loans Arena. So Victor Oladipo doing more. Home Depot. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll get to your busy NBA calls. We'll do that here momentarily. AB is in the house. First time here on this Monday morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Guys, good morning. So this morning keeps happening to the Washington Capitals.
Backhander off the far wall. Here's Werenski with a puck to the middle. He shoots a save. His mate. Rebound! Score! And I got two words for you! Game over!
Bob McGilligan
on. Waiting for D-Generation X.
Yes. Blue Jackets Radio.
Knock it.
I'll tell you, the Caps, Caps lead that game 3-1 at home. Down one game to none. You got to finish off the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yeah, you cannot give up three consecutive goals into the second period, tie the game up late, and then lose that game in overtime. I mean, that is a Capitals team whose probably Stanley Cup window is closed, but that is a brutal start to that series. Down two games to none.
And again, like Mark said, down two goals. Columbus rallies, wins in overtime, 5-4. This time, Matt Calvert, that game-winning tally. Vegas, meanwhile, in position to sweep the Kings after a 3-2 win in Game 3 in L.A. And the Wild thumped the Jets 6-2 after losing their first two games in Winnipeg. 44 points for James Harden as the Rockets held off the T-Wolves last night, 104-101 in their opener in Houston. 32 points for Victor Oladipo as Indy stormed through Cleveland in the afternoon, 98-80, and a big game as well from Paul George.
George with 2 seconds. Over O'Neal at the buzzer. Cha-ching! A Thunder! Money ball, oh baby! Paul George has done it in game one with 32 points. 8 of 11 three-point stroking. A cotton candy sweet stroke. Giving me cavities right now.
Matty Pinto on Thunder Radio. Terrible. George finished.
These guys are trying too hard. I mean, the announcers are really out of control. I mean, really, yeah. I mean, AB, I know you're a fan of a lot of what these guys do, but let's be honest. They really don't... You don't like that comment.
When push comes to shove, that one wasn't that bad.
It was very bad.
That one made
candy,
me laugh.
Play
it again, Connor, please. That the candy.
Hey, mate.
The candy
mate.
Yeah, that I can do without.
You got a lollipop, G'day. Mate. You got a lollipop.
Patty
you got a lollipop.
Mills hits a three. G'day, mate.
G'day, potty lot. I got a potty lot. You got it, Connor. He's working on it. Yeah, it's a little bit try hard, AB. That's what we call
yes.
it. You know, a little
yes.
bit try hard. I mean,
you
really.
Could run in a little bit. One yeah, less line.
A little bit. It was a little bit out of control. But at the end of the day, Paul George was outstanding. I got to tell
was,
you. The guy couldn't miss, but the announcing was
he was
a bit
better annoying. Than the play-by-play.
He definitely was.
36 for George. His 8-3 is a franchise playoff
record. He can only
record.
Do so much.
Yeah, we're moving on.
OKC down Utah 116-108. Jazz rookie Donovan Mitchell, 27 points and 10 boards while battling a left foot injury. An MRI reportedly came back clean, so Mitchell's fine for game two. Sixers center Joel Embiid has cleared the concussion protocol but will not play tonight in game two with the Heat. Head coach Brett Brown says Philly still has no clear idea when Embiid will return. Away from the playoffs, the Knicks said to be interviewing Mark Jackson, Jerry Stackhouse, and David Fizdale this week for their head coaching job, David Blatt next week. And they reportedly have permission to speak with their former head coach, Mike Woodson,
which is
who's
joke.
Now a Clipper assistant.
I mean, it's a joke. I mean, you bring Mike Woodson back. You can't.
Did
you
it
can't.
Not go well? I don't remember.
No, it did not end well. It did not end well. What Nick coach, the last time, when has it ended well for Nick coach? Riley Faxton is resignation, right?
Yeah.
Jeff Van Gundy was showing the door, right? He wanted no part of James Dolan any longer. What Larry Brown? Mike Woodson? Go up and down the line. Mike D'Antoni.
Oh.
Jeff
Knicks
Hornacek.
Basketball.
Jeff Hornacek. What coach has it ended with? No, it didn't. But the idea that if you take what the Knicks said last week when they did their press conference and said they want a coach that's going to grow and develop with the team.
Yeah.
It can't be Mike Woodson.
No, I told you.
It can't be Mike Woodson.
It can't be that guy.
Moose,
I solved the problem for the Redmen, for the Johnnies, I should say.
Coming from the Johnnies, I should say. Chris Mullin.
Chris Mullin, that's the guy. I meant to say coming from the Johnnies. Yeah, Chris Mullin to the Knicks is the way to go. Enough of this. Wrap it up with that. It's easy.
The other guy they seem to love is Stackhouse.
Mm.
That's the guy that's gotten a lot
yeah,
of.
I know our colleague Brandon Tierney's been pushing Stackhouse a lot in the afternoons. Yeah.
Stackhouse is a guy that they seem to have interest in, but we'll see. We'll see where they end up.
I say Mullen's the guy. It ain't going to happen, but that's the guy.
44-year-old Bartolo Colon, perfect through 7 in Houston last night. Rangers manager Jeff Bannister marveling at the effort just before the post-game DJ took over.
What an incredible effort. Perfect through 7. Move the fastball around, change speeds, but in control of the game. Had fun watching every pitch.
And then the party
California!
Started.
Yeah,
that's what he's playing. He's playing a little.
Take those glasses
Coolio,
off.
Right? It's Coolio.
Don't look at me.
Not Coolio.
Who did
no.
California?
Dr. Dre.
Vanilla Ice?
No.
Not yeah, California. You're right. It was Dr. Dre.
It was Dr. Dre.
City of Compton! California! Yeah.
Knows how to party.
Da, 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 da.
Right.
So he was in a locker room.
He was in the locker room. He was in his office, yeah.
He was at the club, one
yeah.
or the other.
Could be on his way in.
Yeah.
Well, it just cut off before we started to get the rap.
Yeah, it was for editing purposes. It was cursing.
Yes.
Oh, a little cussing.
That's yeah, the exactly Rangers, right. a 3-1 win, by the way, in 10 in Houston. Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, not expected in attendance when the Patriots begin their offseason program later today. Gronk is still deciding his playing future. And yesterday's NASCAR race in Bristol, Tennessee, held overnight by rain, scheduled to resume at 1 Eastern this afternoon with 295 laps to go. Guys,
there
you go.
Then. Yeah, Tupac and Dr. Dre.
There it is, Tupac.
Right.
Yeah, Coolio did, what am I thinking? Coolio did.
He did that song.
Gangster's Paradise.
Gangster's Paradise.
And then that's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Correct. Thanks, Mikey B.
You're welcome.
Mikey B's on top of it.
He's a man, bro.
Big Coolio
fan. Right. Oh, who isn't?
Yeah.
Mikey CBS B. Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, let's talk to Patrick in South Carolina. You are on with Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Pat, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, brothers. Taz and Moose, how are you all?
What's going on, Patrick?
What's up, Patty? What's up, kid?
Hey, man. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. Just wanted to weigh in on the Cavs.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to say there's no need for concern here. Everything is fine in Cleveland.
all is well.
All is well. All is well. Yeah, man, just had to make some adjustments. We started off the game, if you guys were watching the first 3 minutes, we jacked up about 8 3-pointers. At one point, we missed 5 for 6 from the free throw line. So clean up some of those things, and everything will be fine.
So you're not concerned with Kevin Love's play and none of that stuff, or maybe no, you're okay. You're good. All right, no problem.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're not concerned about Indiana's team speed?
No, sir.
Not at all.
Not at all.
That all the defense so pretty good.
So everything is hunky dory following an 18-point loss to Indiana.
If you saw the way LeBron was facilitating, and Tyronn Lue just kept him out there the whole first quarter, he just wanted to get everybody in the flow of the playoffs. Let's get everybody's feet wet. Jack up all the threes that you guys want. We're not going to run any offense, no set formation. We're just going to play ball, and that's the way it happened. We even made a run and closed it within 6 there in the third. So everything's fine.
Yeah, no, I get it. But then all of a sudden.
Well, thank you, Pat.
Thank you for the call. Indiana was able to stabilize themselves, Taz, and march on to the 18-point victory. You didn't take it to where you got within 6, 7 points there in that third quarter. And make that a white knuckler down the stretch. It wasn't.
Cavs never had the lead the game.
Never had the lead.
Never
the
had
game.
Control.
But
the
it
game,
wasn't. You know? There weren't pivotal moments down the stretch of games. I mean, you look at some of these matchups. Minnesota gave Houston a game, right? Milwaukee and Boston. We took you the last 15 seconds, which is ridiculous. It wasn't a great basketball game, but it was tight. Indiana had a lead at halftime, margin game, right? Boys, Cleveland goes on a run, makes it within single digits, they're down, and then Indiana spurts away again.
Yeah. I mean, the Cavs, then I think it was the third period, made a little run. I think they scored like 27, 28 points, where the Pacers scored like 25 points in the third. But other than that, there was no real, you know, threat, like, in watching the game. Hey, Jeremiah in Alabama, you are on with Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, man?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
What's going on, buddy?
I just want to say, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, that LeBron don't couldn't score. LeBron said in the press conference that, you know, they want him buckets and all that bad guys. I don't know what game everybody else was watching. What I watched was the Indiana Pacers defense that was swarming. Those guys were active. Their hands was moving. They weren't afraid of the moment. They was contesting shots. They was all over LeBron. They was all over everybody. I think that Indiana Pacers defense made them not shoot well. I mean, it wasn't like they was just giving up three-pointers to Cavaliers. Every shot looked to me like it was contested. And I just don't get it, guys. I just think that if LeBron don't score 40 to 45 points and Kevin Love not giving you 25 to 30, they in for a long series, guys. It's just me. I mean, because Indiana Pacers playing defense, and they can score the ball, and they're not afraid of LeBron.
Well, yeah, I think you nailed it everywhere.
Oladipo with that edge,
Jeremiah. Good, thank you. Well, thank you for calling, bud.
If they don't hit their shots, Taz, they are going to be. It is going to be a situation where Indiana can make this really, really difficult on the Cavaliers if the 3-point shots from the outside are not going to fall. Listen, I firmly expect Taz, the Cavs to bounce back with a great Game 2 performance. I can't foresee Cleveland falling down 2-0 to Indiana before the series heads back to Indianapolis. I think the Cavs will win Game 2. With that being said, there are things, if you are a Pacers backer, that you saw in Game 1 that you like. Mm. You like the fact that Oladipo and the Pacers guards were better than the Cavaliers guards. You like the fact they were more efficient offensively. You like the fact that your perimeter defense was there for Indiana. There are things to like about the Pacers. Right. I'm not saying that they're definitely going to win the series because I think Cleveland will bounce back. And I think LeBron will probably be a lot stronger early in the game offensively to play a role than he was in Game 1.
Hey, Dave in New Jersey, you're on with Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Dave?
Good morning, guys. How's it going today?
Ah, spectacular. How are you, sir?
Doing great.
Hey, that's great.
Hey, a quick thing on the Pacers and Cavs game. I don't know. I didn't watch a lot of the Pacers this year to kind of make a judgment on.
They really weren't on TV. It's hard to watch them.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Is this a case of the Pacers playing that well, or the Cavaliers just playing that poorly? I mean, I just don't know what to think of it. A 4-5 matchup is always hard to predict, but this one is just kind of like, okay, there's plenty of basketball to be played. I don't know how to judge this one.
Yeah, I think, and Dave, we appreciate you calling. My opinion, Moose, and Dave, I think that it's a case of the Pacers just flat out outplayed the Cavaliers. And to Jeremiah, who called earlier, to his point, the Pacers' defense and how they were just swarming and how athletic they were and how fast they were, they just got outplayed, the Cavaliers. They didn't come out at home, the Cavs, inspired. I got news for you. If Victor Oladipo and his Pacers come out guns a-blazing in a couple of days on Wednesday in Cleveland again and hypothetically win the game, now you go to Indiana. Home court advantage, Jones. Those people in Indiana, they're going to be going berserk. They're going to be going banana.
Oh, right. If Indiana leads that series 2-0, they played them off their feet in the first quarter. They sent the first shot. They led by 19 after the first quarter. And it wasn't a case where it's not like Indiana shot the ball lights out either. I mean, they were 39% from three, 45% from the field on the day. Cleveland really struggled offensively.
Yeah.
And that's the concern you have for them. If the threes are not falling, they are going to have a difficult time finding offense in the half court. And Indiana's got a player in Oladipo that can generate his own shot almost any time down the court. And that's the other issue you have for the Cleveland Cavaliers is being able to contain Victor Oladipo possession in, possession out with that perimeter defense because it's tangible. Taz, either you got foot speed or you don't, right? And when you have it, it's clear as day, right? And you look at Indiana yesterday, they were the quicker team. They were the faster team. And on the perimeter, clearly, and that's going to be a concern here for Tyronn Lue and the Cleveland Cavaliers moving into game two.
Yeah, you're right about the foot speed. And defensively, it wasn't just the foot. What helps the foot speed? Well, a lot of people don't think about it. If you break it down, what the Pacers did, ball anticipation. That's what they did so well. They anticipated the pass, and they moved so quick on the pass to get and deflect passes, knock balls down. I mean, they played great, and they played very inspired as opposed to the Cavaliers. Parker in South Carolina, you were on with Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. What's up there, Haas?
Hey, guys. Hey, first of all, really love your show. Listen to you guys every morning. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you, Parker.
Thank you so much, Parker. Thank you, buddy.
Second of all, I think you guys are really you're hitting the nail right on the head with the Cavs. I personally think they're going to be fine, but they missed a lot of open threes.
Right.
So if they start knocking down the threes, they're going to start scoring in bunches. But, you know, you're right. They were swarming on defense. Definitely locking LeBron down. I mean, he's still going to get his. But, yeah, I think you guys are hitting it right on the head. If they go down 0-2, this is definitely a very serious.
Well, yeah, then you got to go to Indiana, Parker, right? Now you got to go to Indiana and play. Yeah. And that place is going to be, like, they're going to be going nuts over there. You know what I mean? Parker, we appreciate the call.
A little foreshadowing game two. Yeah. Cavaliers are going to come out in that opening 8 minutes of that first quarter and try and play Indiana off their feet.
How about this, the Moose? How about this? Okay. How about now, this game on Wednesday, Indiana and Cleveland, has just become must-see TV.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because of this victory by Victor Oladipo.
Yes.
And the Pacers.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oladipo.
Some would say any game with LeBron is must-see TV. But yes, I agree with you,
I'm kind of done because it's just been nonstop. The LeBron thing's out of control.
No, he's great. You're gonna
he is great.
In 10 years, when his career's over, we're watching his son play in the NBA, you're going to be like, I'm going to I miss LeBron. But there he is.
I'm probably not going to say that, but I understand what you're saying.
You know what I mean.
I know.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Kawhi Leonard, the drama in San Antonio continues. We'll touch upon that next. Taz and the Moose with you.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, time right now to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros and submit your question. Be listening later on in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, your number to call. And the drama continues in San Antonio surrounding Kawhi Leonard and the San Antonio Spurs, as, I mean, they just got their absolute doors blown off in game one against the defending NBA champs, the Golden State Warriors. And obviously no Kawhi Leonard once again. Lose that game in embarrassing fashion. Game two is later on this evening, Taz, and Greg Popovich, the Spurs head coach, was asked the question in terms of will Kawhi Leonard return, and he said, well, you got to ask Kawhi's people, because he is not medically cleared once again to come back to play after losing game one, 113-92. A storyline that does not end, that continues to go on and on and on, to where we've seen Manu Ginobili come out and speak about it. We've certainly seen Greg Popovich be, I wouldn't say passive-aggressive, because he's been in the forefront to it, but been very, very critical.
More aggressive-aggressive.
Yes, more critical of the medical staff around Kawhi Leonard, not clearing him to come back and play. And the San Antonio Spurs, without Kawhi Leonard, they make the playoffs for once again, but they can't even come close to competing with Golden State, even with the Warriors not being close to 100% healthy.
Yeah, man. You know, listen, Kawhi, really, I got to tell you, I don't know the guy from a hole in the wall, but it's a bad look. Kawhi, you got to speak up, man. You're about a month and a half past talking to the public, talking to the Spurs fan base, people who pay your freaking salary, bro. Okay, these are the people that pay your freaking salary, Kawhi. The Spurs fan base deserves better than this. Give them a freaking explanation. Don't put the heat on responsibility on your coach and your teammates. And don't sit there. Listen, I understand Kawhi doesn't like to talk to the media. I get it. But at times you have to. It's your responsibility as a professional athlete, because these people are paying money for tickets to see you.
No,
They're the ones paying your salary.
I think it's a fair criticism.
You got to explain yourself.
Leonard. We've said it for quite some time that Leonard should come out and address all the speculation down there in San Antonio, whether it be about the injury, why is he not medically cleared as of yet, Taz. The relationship that he has with himself and Spurs management, with himself and his teammates, with himself and the medical staff that are working for the San Antonio Spurs. Why is it taking this long, when some believe he should have been back on the court? Remember, it was about 3.5-4 weeks ago, the storyline was that he was going to return and never did. So something's amiss here. And I agree with you in essence, but if you're Leonard, you're going to get paid regardless.
I know, Moose.
The money's coming your way regardless.
I know that.
He's one of the best top five players in the sport when he's healthy. So if it's not San Antonio, it's somebody else that's going to pay him.
No, I agree with you. But right now, and you know, who knows where he ends up in the summer? He could be Gonski. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. It seems like Pop is sick of him. His teammates are probably pissed at him. I mean, you got to talk up. And look, I'm not taking anything away from Kawhi's ability. I think he's an amazing, great player. But I got to tell you, and I also respect that he's an elite pro athlete that does not want to be in the media forefront. And like I said, I understand that. But there comes time where you got to knuckle up and you got to do things you don't want to do when people are spending their hard-earned money to come see the Spurs play basketball. And if you're hurt, I got no problem, Moose. I talked about this weeks ago. My narrative was, I got no problem with him being out long with a quad injury. I got no problem with him knowing his body. I have no problem with that. I got a problem with him not coming public and explaining himself to the people. It's ridiculous.
Right, but okay.
That's not right.
I'm not saying it's right, but let me play devil's advocate. What answer, conceivably speaking, would Kawhi be able to provide that we don't know right now?
Clarity.
He's not medically clear.
No, I know, but Moose, there'd be some clarity. I'm making some strides in my training. I'm able to run on a decent jog. I can't really jab step. You know what? I think it might be another few days. Or, hey, I apologize to the fans and my teammates. I want to get back out there. And I don't care what he says. Just turn the mic on and say something.
Okay, but he's going to say to you, Taz, I address the media. I answer some questions. I'm not going to be able to provide the answers that's going to make this a little bit of a softer blow. It's not going to be a satisfying press conference because you're going to get. He's going to answer the question, why aren't you back? Well, I'm not medically cleared to come back from my doctors. Are you cleared by San Antonio doctors? But that has nothing to do with it. I have my own medical guys that basically say that I should not be back on the court as of yet. Right. Where's the satisfying response that you're going to get from Leonard? Is it more of a case you want to hear from him because you don't know if he necessarily cares of whether or not he's on the court? Because some people have that vibe right now, and that's where you've seen the frustration from Manu Ginobili. Or is it a case, Taz, where you want to have some answer where you feel a little bit better about the vibe and the situation moving forward? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know if you're going to feel better if you're a Spurs fan with any response he gives you.
Me, Moose, I'll answer your questions. There was a lot of them. I don't know which one to answer first, but I will try. You peppered me with about 20 questions.
Well, it was more rhetorical.
They were rhetorical, and I love to answer those.
I got you.
So here's the thing. I'm not a Spurs fan. I'm not a Spurs hater. I got no dog in the fight, but I'm a basketball fan, okay? And I got to tell you this right now. I just want to hear the freaking guy, Kawhi, say something. Lie to me. Say something. Just go public already. You're taking your check. You're getting paid. Say something publicly. Why am I angry?
But then you can't be critical about what he says.
I won't be. Regardless of what he says, even if it's not a satisfying response. I just want to hear him talk.
You just want to hear him speak.
I just want him to say something. Just take some responsibility and take some ownership. It's your body, Kawhi.
And that's what he's going to tell you. That's what he's going to tell you. It's my body. That's my body. That's why I'm not back on the court. I'm protecting myself long term. But you want to hear him speak and tell you that.
Yes,
and
I do.
You're just going to be left wanting. But I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
You want to feel like he's mentally in the game. Here was Popovich after the Warriors did away with San Antonio 113-92 on Saturday.
Did that work very well?
Did you watch the game?
Yes.
What do you think?
It
didn't work very well. So we'll have Danny grow 4 or 5 inches by Monday night. Tell him to jump higher and move quicker. And we'll tell Kevin, don't be so good.
I wish I could do that.
Come on.
So he's talking about Durant being guarded by Danny Green. The question. And he asked if it worked all that well. And he said, do you watch the game? To one of the reporters.
That is a
cranky Greg Popovich.
Cranky Pop. Yeah.
As Durant drops in 24 points and is a plus 21 on the court during his 32 minutes of action.
Could you imagine if you're Pop? How sick and tired and disgusted are you dealing with Kawhi questions? How sick this man must be.
Oh, I'm sure. He's got to be bothered by it.
Probably just wants to kick him right in his shin.
And the fracturing of the relationship, the reported fracturing of the relationship between Leonard and the Spurs. He's going to have to, any way you cut it, whether he dresses the media or long term, if he remains in San Antonio, Taz, there has got to be a rebuilding of a lot of those relationships down in San Antonio.
It was a few weeks ago, I was giving him benefit of doubt, and you're like, nope, Taz, you're wrong. You were right. I was wrong. I was being too nice.
Well, it played out that way.
Speak
we want to hear from you. Does Kawhi owe the public an answer? Plus, the latest edition of BCS that comes your way next on a big Monday morning program. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.